to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day. Jesus, come. Let today be the day. He'll come for the weak and the strong just the same, and all will believe in the power of his name. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by river.
You lift your hands and tell me tonight, Lord, you're holy, so holy. I look around and I see all the works your hands have made, the awesome you and how your love will never fade. Mere words cannot express what I feel inside. I can't describe your glory divine, but as a token of my love, this is what I'll do. I lift my hands and cry, Lord,
Lord,
Lord, you're
take a bow. It don't matter. Tired of traditions. Well, it's time to get started. We'll start this morning with prayer requests. Anybody? Absolutely. Dewey? Same. Ted and them have to nurse them back to health. I'm going to. Don't worry. Go ahead. Anybody else? I'm just messing with you, Z. Joe. Yeah, absolutely. Remember my mom and dad always, and my brother-in-law and sister. And I got a, bought two Bibles for my nieces, man. And I give it to them, and they take it home, and my mom and dad, they go up there quite often in Parkersburg, where my sister lives. And them girls has been reading. They don't go to church. Mommy and dad don't take them to church. They read their Bibles. They take notes. My mom says they don't go to bed without reading. So pray. God's moving. I honestly believe that he's gonna save my sister and brother-in-law. I do believe that. Hey, Ted. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else? Anybody else with prayer requests? Anybody? Okay, if you don't care, we'll stand and go to the Lord in prayer. If you got an unspoken prayer request with lifting a hand, that's between you and God. He knows the need and the want. If you don't care, Lynn, go ahead and lead us in prayer if you care.
Why you would suffer.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning as we go into Bible study, man, something's been on my heart profoundly with us, disciples of Jesus Christ, and what that's supposed to look like, Terry, how we're supposed to represent our King, but how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to look. Are we perfect people? Absolutely not. I'm like Paul, I'll tell you, man, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and I am chief. I praise God for that. I praise God for what He's done in my life, how He moved. But this morning, I want you to search yourself, because we can get people to come to the altar for prayer. We can get people to come for in a service to move, to come to the altar to pray. And that's all good. That's all great. It's needed. It's a have to. You have to repent of your sins. But from that moment on, then what happens? What does that look like? How do disciples, what do we tell people? You know, we can go up here and pray with them and pat them on the back and love them like we're supposed to. But what are we supposed to tell them from that moment on? What are they supposed to look like? What are they supposed to act like? Because guess what? If they don't see that in you and I, if we're not reflecting the way we're supposed to reflect Jesus Christ, not reflecting you, not reflecting a denomination, not reflecting none of that stuff, but reflecting Him. Because Jesus is the one who changes people. Not me. Not Ted. No paper. Nothing but Him. It's Him. Nothing else but Jesus. And if we want people to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we got to show them the way. So this morning, what is the way? How does it all start from when they get up from this altar, when they come to pray for repentance, seeking Jesus Christ? What does it look like from here after, when they leave those doors? What do you tell them? We don't forget about them. We don't push them away. Not for just, man, we got four people saved tonight, and that's it. It don't work that way. It's not supposed to work that way. Does it work that way in the church? Absolutely. In a lot of them, it does. It's like Sean says all the time, it's about the little billboard in the back. The offerings, the Bibles. But I want people changed. I want people's lives changed. I want people's marriage changed. I want their whole world changed. And the only way that we can do those things is if we show them Him and how it works in their life. And this morning I want to talk about the most important thing in a believer. The most important. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But the next is to love your neighbor as yourself with no condemnation. Because there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. There's none. I don't care who you are or how mighty you think you are. We've got to love people. A love that's beyond understanding. And I've been guilty of it myself. Judging people. Judgment's not mine, Dewey. It ain't mine. It's His. But the Bible says we'll know them by their fruit. We can judge fruit. But how can we expect people to have love in their life to fully surrender to Jesus Christ if we're not showing them the way? So this morning I want to read, you don't have to stand, it's just one scripture. And I'm sure you probably know what it is. Ted asked me and Ted was talking, to come in and this has been on my mind for a little while, and I felt led to share this. But John 13, 34 through 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you love people that don't look like you? Do you love people that don't walk like you? Do you love people that don't have lifestyles like you? That's how we change the world, people. That's who we're called to be. We can attend church all day long, every Sunday, every Wednesday, and play the religious cult. We got to be changed. We've got to be changed here. It's a heart condition. It's here. It starts here. If you want to tell a person who's first come to Jesus Christ, how do you walk with the Lord? It's here. You've got to give it all to Him there first. And once you get up, you've got to give Him your all when you walk away. All of me for all of Him. Paul, look at Paul. Paul's a perfect picture of the love of Christ. He condemned Christians, murdered them, chased them, hunted them down. And Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and blinded him of himself. Church, we need to be blinded of ourselves to get out of our own selfish wants and needs and religious look and to look more like Him, to love like Him. Oh, it's the preacher going to talk about love. Just wrap your arms around everybody. Everybody's going to heaven. No. It's not that way. It don't work that way. But He's called me to love. Why? Because He first loved me. He first loved you. You can fall asleep at the wheel all you want. But He didn't fall asleep at the wheel for me. I'm going to give Him my all. I'm going to give Him everything that He's done for me. I'm going to return it to represent Him, not to glorify me, but to glorify the Father. That if people could see good works in me, they see Him. That they don't see me no more. And I'm sure there's people who talks about me. Oh, man, I know what that boy's done. I know what he's done. I know what he's done. And God knows what you've done too. I don't live in the past no more. I live in a future that's been crucified
at the cross of Jesus Christ. That I want people to have that peace, that joy, that love that I have in my life. Yes, I was an old drunkard. Yes, I was a pure outlaw, a pure idiot. And I'll say that about myself. That's who I was. But he changed me. He came in. He changed this because I had to fully surrender this to look like him. So when I see somebody that the world's giving up on, that's who I want. That's who I want to talk to. That's who I want to wrap my arms around because he done it for me. When the world gave up on me, he didn't. When the people in the world were talking about me, he didn't. When nobody else was loving on me, he did. And that's who we've got to be as believers. I know you wanted to probably come to church this morning and hear about Emmanuel and the baby in the manger, and that's fine. Yes, it's all part of the gospel. It is. But I want you changed. I want you different. I want you to look different. I want this church to look different. I want everybody here to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Not talking about people, not pointing fingers at people, not selfish and in your own ways, but looking to him, the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ changes everything, people. But we first got to get out of his way. If we want to love people, if we want to see this house full of people, we've got to change. Well, Pat, I've been going to church for 30 years. But are you lukewarm? Is the fire still there? Are you and the Lord okay? Sometimes we can let religion get in the way sometimes, Ted. The Pharisees did it. Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can one be born again? The man who knew the scriptures from front to back, how can one be born again? It's relationship. The water and the spirit, it changes a man. The spirit of God comes into your heart and he changes you. You look different, Z. You walk different. You talk different. You love people. When nobody's looking not to glorify yourself, you wrap your arms around people. Whether it's financially, whether it's just, hey, I need to pray with you, or a message, encouragement. You're doing so good. Paige, you're doing so good with the kids, the teens. You're doing so great, you and Jeffrey, you're doing awesome. Don't hold back. Keep pushing forward. That's the encouragement that we should have in our hearts for people. People that don't look like us. Sinners lost. Hey, let me tell you. Let me just wrap my arms around you. Let me tell you about a man who changed my life. And I've probably told this story. I tell it all the time. Me and Angie was in Charleston last Christmas, matter of fact, around this time. I think it was after Christmas. We was walking through the streets looking at all the decorations down there with the kids. We'd been to the Pies and Pints place to eat pizza. Me and the kids. Walked out and I said, Angie, let's go take these pizzas back to the truck. Had leftovers. The kids were walked on. They went on over to the trees. Was in a bookstore or something. Me and Angie's walking to the truck. Walking down the street. I see this homeless man. Here I am. With a whole box of pizza. And I walk by him. I tell myself. I walk right by him. And man, it's like God grabbed me by the shirt tail. And pulled me back. But when I went back, there's a 14 or 15 year old boy. Not the guy that I thought I was supposed to talk to, but a boy about my kid's age. Homeless, digging through the trash. And I encountered him. I stopped him. I said, here, God wants me to give this to you. He said, man, why are you so happy? Why do you have a smile on your face? And Angie, I bet she's like, oh, God, here we go. I said, you really want to know? Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. Me and that young boy had a conversation for about 10 minutes on the streets of Charleston about the Lord. He took the pizza, he went over, and guess what he done? There's about 10 other guys standing over there. He took that pizza, he took one piece, and he gave it to his friends. That's the kind of love that we should have as believers. To encounter people, to love on them when it don't make sense, church. To wrap your arms around people who don't have that love that they need. That may be the only thing that's separating them from coming to God with their heart, to having a change in their life, is you. When God puts it on your heart to talk to somebody, talk to them. It's been put there for a reason. That Jesus wants to encounter people. If he can change me, he can change anybody. I ain't going to get to my notes. Yeah, go ahead. How do we become approachable? And it's what we talk about. It's here. Right here. I don't know everything. I don't know everything, but he does. How can I take on today's battles with last year's prayers? You've got to be in prayer consistently. The enemy goes around seeking whom he may devour. He don't say that he stops. It says he's seeking. So are we seeking God's face? Are we seeking God's favor? And it starts in prayer. How can we love people when God's or the enemy has hardened your heart? You can't. If the enemy's hardened your heart, that you have people in your life that you haven't forgive. Yeah, I'm stepping on toes. That's all right. There's There's people that you've already sent to hell. Yep, stepping on toes. You've got to get rid of that stuff. That's not of God. It's not. Love compels people to change, Terry. Love compels people to want to look different. Man. Priest and him just had a loss in their family. But love, in those moments of weakness, when you feel like you don't know what's going on, why me? Death comes to us all. We know that. But she's here. Dave's here. Love to want to have relationship with Jesus Christ. They see that. If you can keep going, if you're still smiling in the face of adversity, when death has showed up at your door and you do it, and you conquer it with a smile on your face, because you know who he is, that compels people to want to change, to want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Do we need them in small groups and courses and stuff like that? Absolutely. But this has got to change first. The heart has to be changed. We can do groups and all those things, but if the heart of the believer ain't changed, it's hardened. You're not going to penetrate nothing. It's just going to fall on dead soil. Go ahead, Z. And you know, I'm Z talking about that, and I can remember my grandmother, who I love dearly and miss her. But, you know, at her funeral services, her pastor said, there's probably nobody on Huff Creek that has tasted my grandmother's chicken and dumplings, and Charlie probably knows that. My grandma lived beside Charlie. She always cooked for people who had a loss in her family. Even if she didn't know them, she'd cook a big thing of chicken and dumplings, and my grandpa would take it to her. But that's the change. And in the old days, when people would get saved at an altar, people would line up after they had come up and hug on them and love on them instead of running out the door to go home. We've got to be encouragers of the gospel. How can we want people to have what we have if we're not representing him well? If we're not loving beyond expectations, no matter what they've done, or how far separated they are from Him. Those should be the people that you should love the most. Wrap your arms around them. Love on them. Show them who He is. Not to glorify you. We're not called to glorify me. There ain't nobody in this room going to get you to heaven but Him. The blood's got to be applied. And what Jesus done on Calvary's cross and what He done in your life and how He's come in your life with change that's in your life. Are you reflecting Him? Are you showing Him at the middle school? Do they see Him in you? That's the question. We've all got to have that question. Am I representing my King well? Am I loving people? Has God loved me? That's the Christmas story. That God so loved the world that He sent His Son. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever. It don't matter. Whoever. How can they know that love if we're not showing that love? And it starts with a heart that's conquered. It starts with a heart that says, Lord, I don't know what You need from me today, but let Thy will be done. I'll get out of the way and let You do what You need to do, no matter what it is. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Honestly, yeah.
Cuts my hair, Caleb Browning. Every time I go in there, man, he's talking to me about the scriptures all the time. I sat in there with him this week for an hour after I'd got my hair cut. Guy's tatted up, head's tattooed, you know, just he looks rough, but he knows the Lord. He feels it, because every time I'm in there, he's asking me about Jesus. Every time. I don't care, every time. I sit and talk to him about it. But that's who we got to be, church. Not afraid. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed of what he's done in your life? Are you ashamed that he went to Calvary's cross for you? Are you ashamed that he shed the blood? Are you ashamed that you can go to heaven and have a relationship with him? Because if you're not ashamed, you're going to share it. The world needs to hear it now more than ever. And for us to wake up, to not be a dead bride, to be on fire for him, walking in your calling of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, on fire, not kindled, on fire. Stir that gift that's inside of you. Stir it up. And that's what we've got to do with our brothers and sisters who you can tell a difference. Encourage them. Stir that gift inside of them that they may encounter somebody that you can't. And if they're falling by the side, you got to pick them up. Get over yourself and represent him. Is it truly all about Jesus in your life? Because if it's truly all about Jesus Christ, you're going to die to you anyway. The flesh can't hold what the Spirit has. We got to let him rule and reign. We got to let the Spirit of God come into our lives and our hearts and change and move when he says to move. And how can we know what the Spirit's saying in our life if we're not here first? Right here. This is where you talk to him at, church. They should be dust on nobody's Bible. Because you got an iPad. You got an iPhone. I don't care what you, there's access to the Word. The Word changes everything. Prayer changes everything. A life concentrated on the Lord changes everything. And if we're true disciples of Jesus Christ, we're going to have those two things are going to be flowing in our life. That we're seeking him in prayer, wanting to hear his voice. We can't hear his voice if we don't have relationship with him. You can't hear his voice if you're too worried about what the world has happened to say instead of what the Word has to say. That we've got to die to us if we want to truly love people. I'm not talking about a love that is okay with sin. No. I love because he first loved me. Hey, man, I know you're wrong. I know you've done some bad stuff in your life. You're not living right where you need to be. But let me tell you how you can change it. Let me point you to the one who can change it. Let me show you him and let me tell you what he's done for me. I too was once lost. I too was saved by grace. I too was lost and undone. I too was given up on. I too had fell away from him. But he changed me with a love that passes all understanding. You want love and joy in your life? Know him. It'll flow out everywhere. You'll just start crying for no reason when you feel him. I can be walking through the house with tears just pouring out my face. Angie's saying, what's wrong? And she's like, okay, I know. It's me and him. I don't care. I walk in the White House before Donald Trump and hit my knees and say, I worship Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody else has to say or how ridiculous I look to them. I want to please my Father and die to this. Patrick Browning does not exist no more. I am a son of the Most High God. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. but that. And that's how we should be. More. More. And I want to close with this scripture. It's on my heart. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, love, I am nothing. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Love envy not. Charity vaineth not itself. It is not puffed up. It does not believe in itself. Unseemly, seeking not her own. Is not very provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoicing not in iniquity, but rejoicing in truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopeth all things. And love endures all things. Church, our love is the difference. To disciple the world, to disciple people, you must have love in your heart for the lost and for your brothers and sisters. I don't care what they look like, what they talk like, what they've done, or what they haven't done. You've got to love people. And they've got to see that love in you. That you want to see your family changed? You want to see the lost in your family changed? It's not by arguing with them when things pop up. It's turning, walking away, and says, I'll pray for you that I'm going to seek the face of God, that the Spirit of God's going to come in and He's going to wreck you when you may be wrong. Walking different, talking different, looking different. That's what disciples are supposed to look like. That's what the first disciples look like. The world thought they was crazy. That they was worshiping a ghost. Yes. The Holy Ghost. Let Him come and wreck you. Let Him come and change your life. Let Him change your prayer life. Let the Spirit of God come. You walk through the house speaking in tongues, prophesying. Let Jesus Christ rule and reign in your life. And I promise He'll change everything. If you open up your heart and open up your mind to Him, everything changes, Terry. When He walks in the room, and He's not going to walk in a room that's not concentrated on Him, not even wanting Him to come. We can say we want Him, but this morning, do you truly want Jesus? Church, do you want Jesus this morning? Did you just come to have church this morning, or do you want Jesus? Did you come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or did you just come to have church? I come to worship the Father. I come to worship Jesus. He gave me opportunity. He gave me breath in my lungs to focus on Him. But do you want Him this morning? That's on you. I can't fight that battle for you. I can't do it for you. Because if I could, my mom and dad would be here. They've got to do it themselves. I can't do it, but I'm going to keep continuing pointing them to Him. We've got to continue pointing the world to Him. The young people, we've got to show them, not push them off. Show them a lifestyle change. Son, daughter, here's how you fight your battles. Right here. Not hand them an iPad or a tablet saying, here, you search it, you look for it. But let me show you something that's going to change your life. relationship with the Creator, Jesus Christ.